You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
I just came back from Prescott. Everybody thought I went to Preston, but I came from Prescott. And so I just basically got off the airplane, just flew in, been on the plane for 11 hours from LA. And so if I'm not exactly myself, blame it on that. I mean, next week, you just blame me. I was out with Pastor Jay. He was at the conference the other day, and some of the other guys, and so they were talking to me about boxing, and I know nothing about boxing. They were talking about boxing. They were talking about this this MMA, or this mad boxing with fighting and blood and spitting and biting and everything. And they were telling me about a woman that basically she had gone. They got women doing it now, kneeing women, and it's crazy. Anyway, but praise God. And so, imagine marrying one of those, man. That's crazy. maybe some guys need a wife like that to behave, man. And so they told me that one of the women, she went in the ring, and so they kind of hyped her up, and she was like the face of it. I don't know her name. If you know it, you probably know it. I don't care. But they hyped her up, and so for years, she's been like the main face, and so she went into a battle, and she got beat. And then she went into a battle recently, and they beat her within 48 seconds. Something like that, 48 seconds. She goes into the ring. And so Pastor Jay was telling me that in the top, they have a thing where they have a list of the top fighters ever. You know, she was thought of as one of these top guys. They've hyped her up. They've bigged her up. This woman is all of this. And then she goes into the ring when she goes up against a formidable foe, she's knocked out within under a minute, 48 seconds. I want to say is that as a Christian, you have a formidable foe. You have an enemy. You, as a Christian, I would say as a human being, but especially as a Christian. And so much of what we see in the church sometimes can be hyping people up. There can be a lot of hype. There can be a lot of outward talk. There can be a lot of, bigging somebody up spiritually, and man of God, woman of God, and using of these terminologies and these words. There can be an outward manifestation, a Bible knowledge, a certain skill set, a natural skill. But you have a formidable foe. And if you don't understand what you're going up against, maybe like this woman, your last 48 seconds or whatever it was. I mean, no, I don't want to just be like a guy that's around for 48 seconds. I want to serve Jesus for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. I don't want ever to be in a position where people see me and they're just saying, you see that brother there? No, no, not him. You see that one there? No, the light one. See that guy there? He used to be the pastor of a church in Wandsworth. I don't want people to say that to me. I don't want you to see me on the corner of Falcon Road in the Falcon, in the pub, looking through the window, and I'm there getting drunk with a woman that's not Francis. Well, I don't even want to be getting drunk with Francis, but this is better than a woman that's not, you know. That you hold up, this guy preached about these things, and look at him now. I believe that the dimension of this, what's going to help us, is if we understand the power of prayer. We're in a series, Pray and Preach. This is our series. We started with it a few weeks ago. This is our theme for the year, Pray and Preach. Matthew 12, verse 29, the Bible says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that you would speak through us. Father, you would speak to us. Father, I pray that you would use our lives. Father, even as we come together, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be in this place. We do not have any confidence in flesh, in eloquence. Father, in the ability of man, let no flesh grow in your presence. Let our hearts be bare before you, open right now. We desire open heart surgery, that you would change us. Let us leave it different. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, and the real church said, Jesus speaks about this scripture, about binding the strong man. And it's a very, obscure passage of scripture. And I want to look at this in connection with prayer. And I want to make a statement is that Jesus says that how are you going to enter the strong man's house unless you first bind him? And so there's going to be these terminologies. I've read it over and it could be, maybe does it mean that? Does it mean this? But the first thing I want to say to you is that you are entering a house that has a strong man in it. Every single person on this planet is entering in a house which has a strong man in it. All of mankind. Because if you look in the world today, you'll understand that this world has been handed over to the enemy. This world, how many know everybody in the world is not just in church right now serving God, worshiping God, loving God? People are doing wicked things. Just on the day that I flew out to go to Prescott, I was supposed to go to New York, change at New York and fly to Phoenix and then drive from Phoenix. And as I got to New York, I've been to New York many, many times, stopped off there. And so it took me about an hour and a half, nearly 2 hours to get through customs. And so by the time I got through the other side, my plane had gone. I had to stay in New York an extra night. And it's freezing there and everything, but that's a whole other story. And then once I got through, I said to the woman, why is it taking so long? I've missed my flight. What's happened? And she said, because there was a guy in Florida and he shot people in the airport. How many know there are wicked people in the world right now? Now, what do you get out of that? If you saw the clip that here is this guy, crazy guy, just pulls out in the baggage claim and starts shooting people. The world that we live in today, you don't have to go too far to see wickedness. The Bible says that when Adam sins, sin entered into this world. Even when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, the devil says, listen, if you bow to me, I'll give you this. Because for a season, the devil is allowed, because we've allowed him in, sin into this world, really we are on enemy's ground. This is, all of mankind is in the enemy's house. This is why it's so hard to do the right thing. I mean, no, it's so hard to do the right thing. Because you have an enemy against you. You're into the enemy's camp. This is why the people that are unprepared, people that will talk a lot, people that are unprepared, they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you step in and within 40-something seconds, you're knocked back out again. I've seen new converts talking, knocked out. I've seen old converts talking, knocked out. I've seen pastors talking, knocked out. Men, women. Jesus says, listen, you're entering in a strong man's house. John 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. We're in a world where people have been enslaved by their sin. And this is why it's not easy to live for God. Let me put it straight. It is not easy to live for God. It is not easy to do the right thing. Even before you as a Christian, you realize it's not easy to do the right thing. To live as God has meant you to live. See, God designed you and I to reflect His glory. God made you in His image. You are in the image of God. And this is why the devil always wants to tear us down, pull us back from that, wants to make us in the image of something else. You've entered a strong man's house. It's very hard just to stay in church. You know, it's very hard just to be faithful to church. It's so good when I go and preach in different churches and I see people that are still there that got saved. Maybe when I did a revival there, I've seen people, I come back, people are saved there, even in this church. Because it's easy to come for a little season, make some friends, go to Nando's, and then, you know, you start to go miss services and not come. And I mean, no, it's not easy to love people. It's not easy to love people. God requires that you love people. God requires that. He says this. This is what we must do. The first commandment is what? Love the Lord thy God with everything. And then love your neighbor as yourself. These are so simple. People want, no, Pastor, let's go into the Greek and Hebrew. Let's stick with those things before we go to the Greek and Hebrew. Let's do those things, and then we'll worry about some Greek and some Hebrew. But those things are so hard, that's why we say, well, I'm not going to, that's the hard thing. Let me just go and start to talk about Greek and Hebrew. What about to live morally clean? Listen, if you're a single person in this church, I know what it's like to try and live morally clean. We are living in a society in England, in a Western world, where everything is saturated with sex. They'll have naked people selling cars, then they have naked people selling chewing gum. Everything is because sex sells. You ever heard that? Sex sells. And so to live clean is going to be so difficult. It's not easy because we are in a strong man's house. He's resisting. You're like, I'm going to live clean. No problem. I'm going to resist you. What about keeping a right heart? This is so hard. There could be people here, you're in church today, but your heart is not right. Your heart is not right. Your heart is not right with some people in this church. And the head of church, it's the church. When you start talking like that, it's because your heart is not right. If you're in this place today and you've got beef from here and you've got beef with someone over there, your heart is not right. Your heart is not right. Or maybe you're over here because those guys got the conviction. Maybe you're over here painting someone over there. If you're in this place today, see, you've got to keep your heart right. Maybe some of you got beef with me. Listen, I'm going to keep my heart right, you know. I've had to go. Pastoring is the thing that has tested my heart the most. I'm just going to keep it real. I'm tired, so I'm jet lagged, so I'm just going to be honest. That's the hard thing. People will vex you. People will annoy you. I'm trying to help you. You're trying to help someone and they bite your hand. I'm trying to feed you. You got to protect your heart. You know, someone offends you and you try and blow it off. Okay, you know what, maybe they didn't understand. We're Christians, you're a Christian. Okay, let me forgive you. And then when you try to forgive them, then they try blaming you. What? Are you nuts? Are you mad? That's when, it's at that point, you're like, no, I tried. I tried with them. No, I tried. It's like I didn't try. I tried to humble myself. And so now your heart, you listen, there is a strong man saying, no. When you try and say, okay, let me be a Christian, let me protect my heart, a strong man is trying to mold your heart into his hard, callous, bitter image. It's not easy. Listen, it's not easy to make a marriage work. The devil hates marriage. Marriage is all over the Bible. God is so into marriage. From the very beginning in Genesis, God inspires marriage. God invents marriage. God says marriage is going to be the center point of where creation comes from. Think about it now. Everything that God has done with mankind, it started with marriage. And so the devil hates marriage. This is why people, the devil loves it when people are just sleeping around, shacking up. It's my girlfriend. The Bible says that we shouldn't fornicate. The Bible says that we should not have sex before marriage. If you're visiting, what? That's crazy. Come on, what do you, 2017. Listen, I don't care if it's 3017. It's past 2017 now. Yeah, well, you should have learned by now. That's 2017 years after Jesus. By now, we should have learned. We've had 2017 years. But to make a marriage work, to make a family work. Let me speak to men here, especially to men in our generation. Listen, just being a man and being married and looking after your family is tough. being a guy that runs around picking up women, I use this because, you know, breeding up women. And it sounds crass, but you're just a breeder. You're not a man, you're a breeder. You're an impregnator. You're not a man. And so to be a real man, it is very, very difficult. Because the devil knows if I get the man, I get the house. To do ministry. This is why when Michael was given this report, I'm so excited, because to have fruitfulness in ministry, to see increase, to see people that will come out in the cold and serve God and do something that has nothing to do with their well-being or nothing to do with money. We're not paying people to do these things. What we're relying on is that God's Spirit is leading them. And to see young people, these are not young people that are on the bus. You know, sometimes people tell me they get on the bus, young people are terrorizing the bus, terrorizing their area, terrorizing their neighbors. But these young people are not doing that. These young people are terrorizing the devil. That's what they're dealing with. Terrorizing the devil. And so this is the beauty. Because I understand, trying to do ministry, there's always going to be a resistance to get people saved and to follow up. Jesus says, you're entering a strong man's house. See, what we need to do is we need to get things the right way around. Jesus says, before you enter a strong man's house, you have to first bind him. So I want some guys that are going to come up. I've got two guys. Okay, yeah. So tired, I forgot their names. Daniel and Everett. And so they're going to come up. And so we're going to have an illustration. How many like illustrations? Come on, how you know? It makes the sermon go quick. And so you're going to be our strong man. Ooh, big boy, isn't it? I'm not too small. Okay, and so you're going to come over here. Leave that there. Leave that there. Leave that there. So you'll come over here. So you'll be here. You come over this side, Daniel, please. And so I want you to kind of oppose him. Like, you don't want him to pass. Yeah? Let's just pray for humility right now, yeah? We don't know egos here. Like, yeah, my wife's watching, you know. Wife watching, man. This is for France. No, I'm only joking. And so, grab each other's hands. Grab each other's hands. Grab each other's hands like that. Okay, without going crazy. I don't want to throw it off into the thing. And so, push against each other. And so, now try and... You see, look. Whoa. Okay. Woo! It's intense. Don't worry. He still got it, man. Ever. What we're saying is this. Yeah, take it easy, because you just got it with you. Saskia's like, that's my man. And so, the reality is, Jesus is painting a picture. And so imagine this is us. This is the church. This is you. This is the devil. And so Jesus describes him as a strong man. That's how he describes him. So imagine now, over here is where Everett wants to get to. And this is the blessing. This is where God is moving. This is fruitfulness. This is a blessed marriage. This is where you want to be. And Jesus says, you better understand, in the spiritual realm, in the unseen area, you've never seen anybody, like you get up in the morning and there's a brother, well, hopefully not, there's a brother standing over you like this. How many of you haven't seen that? That hasn't happened yet. I'm going to behave myself, man. I'm going to behave myself. You haven't seen, but in the spiritual realm, this is why you got to have spiritual eyes. This is why you've got to understand, why is things not working? You've got to understand what's going on in my life. Jesus says this is what's going on in our lives. You know what the Bible says? You must first bind him. Okay, big boy. Sit down there. Tie him up. He's going to get his own, but not too tight, not around his neck or nothing like that, right? Come on, man. He just battered you up. good. Oh, good. And so Jesus says, this is what you need to be doing. Way too slow now. Okay. And so let's think about it now. This is the picture now. Now imagine this is tired like this. And so you come in now. And so now, think of how much easier this is. Try. See, you're finished. Can't touch it. See, this is Jesus is painting a picture, and he's saying, in the spiritual realm, me and you have the ability to do this. In the spiritual realm, this is what we're able to do. See, the reality is, which one do you want to be? I'm not saying you was doing that. Or this, entering in. Okay, untie the devil now. Let him go. Give them a round of applause. Think about this. When we see it like that, it becomes obvious. Could I ask you a question today? Are you in a house with an unbound strong man? Are you in a house today? Are you in a marriage with an unbound strong man? Your family, your children, are you living with an unbound strong man where nothing gets done? Do you know why we will do that? It's because we will trust in our flesh. We trust in our talent and our ability. We trust in our physical strength, our physical skills. The Bible says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That might and power speaks of anything naturally you're good at. Anything that you was really good at, before you even got saved. Some of you here, you've got a great memory. You've got a wonderful memory. I've got a memory like a sieve. I hate it, man. People tell me their name, and I'm like, oh, they just literally just told me their name. I'm like, hey, bro, sister. I hate it. Some people here, you've got, so you could read the Bible and then just know all scriptures. That's a natural thing. That doesn't make you more spiritual. That doesn't make you more spiritual. Your natural ability, many times, is the thing that distracts you from your spiritual disability. You may be physically able, but spiritually disabled. If you're in a wheelchair, hey, I don't know if anybody's here in a wheelchair, but if you're in a wheelchair, how many know you'd need help to get up the stairs here? If we had Pastor Warner come and preach for us, we'd have to work out somehow to get him on the stage. Because that is a disability. You and I are spiritually disabled. We cannot do anything in the spiritual realm. This is why we need Jesus. We need to get God involved. If you are living your life with an unbound strong man, you will realize, no sooner do you start to build, he pulls down. No sooner as you start to build, you're starting to build. Yeah, I'm going to do this. You get stirred up. You come to church. You love God. God stirs you up. This year is going to be a prayer. This year, Bible. This year, witnessing. This year, follow up. This year, this and that. And no sooner do you start to build, already some of you've been torn down. Why is that? Because there is a strong man. You have an unbound strong man in your life. Jesus tells us this. This is why many of you feel so up and down, up and down, up and down. You feel like, Pastor, I'm trying my best. But why is it I'm going up and down like this? It's not like you're not trying. To some of you, you're not. But I'm not even talking to those. God can deal with those. I'm talking to those that are trying. I'm talking to those that do want God. I'm talking to those that are pushing God. Why is it so up and down?
Why? No sooner do I build, it's teared down. Because I'm telling you, there was a strong man unloosed. There was a strong man who hasn't been bound yet in your life. And Jesus says, listen, if we're going to do something for the kingdom, we need to bind the strong man. Jesus says, this has to be done first. Think of the order. Jesus says, bind the strong man and then go into the house and take the goods. Could it be that sometimes we forget to bind and we go in and we start doing? Jesus says, no. You're doing it the wrong way around. If you don't bind and you go and do, I'm not saying what you're doing is bad, but it's not going to last. Listen, you can do good. You can do two good things, but if you do them in the wrong order, it just disqualifies them. Now, some of you think, no, you know, I'm doing a good thing. Okay, I've just come from the plane, so I can't even use this illustration, but I did before I got on the plane. You get up, how many of you go on up, you have a wash, you have a shower, and then you get dressed. How many know that's what you do? You have a wash, you have a shower, praise God. Please, single brother, please. You have a wash, you have a shower, you freshen up, and then you go get dressed. They're two good things. Imagine getting them the wrong way around. They become obsolete. They're good things, but imagine getting up and getting dressed and then having a shower. They both become obsolete now. The clothes you've got on are useless, and the shower you had was useless. And it's not that they're bad things, it's that you've got them in the wrong order. And once you put them in the wrong order, they become obsolete. Good things in the wrong place become bad things, become useless. But I'm doing good things. No. You're doing it in the wrong order. Jesus says, binding must come first. Binding. This must be the first thing. We must deal with the strong man first. This is why we pray, then we preach. This is why we pray first. It must be done first before everything else. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys. Say keys. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, say bind, on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus says that I'm going to give you keys. When you see what Jesus is talking about here, is keys is authority. The one who has the keys has control. I have keys for my car. I have keys to my house. That means I have the control over the car. You can't control the car, but if you got the key, you could control the car. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the key. I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to give you the authority to do things here in your life on earth. And when you do it, heaven gets involved. Are you exercising the authority God gave you? Have you even thought about the authority? See, authority, think about that word. Too many times a Christian is a victim. You may not come out and say you're a victim, but you'll be like, oh, it's hard. Once you start saying it's a victim, you're a victim. You've made yourself a victim. It's too hard, Pastor. You're a victim. When you have authority, someone with authority is not a victim. You can't be both. A victim with authority. It doesn't exist. How many know it doesn't exist? Once you say, it's too hard. It can't be done. I was speaking to Pastor Jamil the other day. We were just having a conversation, friendly chat. And I was saying, I realize whenever you speak to a pastor or a minister and they start to say things like this, people here won't get saved. People here can't get saved because of, I said, you know, it's over for that guy. Once you start to say that, it's over. Because the reality is you've become a victim. If I've got the keys, people get saved anywhere I go. I've got the keys. I've got the keys. Doesn't matter how much the devil locks up a city, locks up a town, locks up a church, locks up a person, locks up a backslider. If God has given me the keys, no problem. Devil, you can wrap them in a million chains with 1,000 locks. I've got the key. They will be delivered. They will be set free. This situation will change because Jesus says he has given me the keys. Look at someone and say, you got the keys. See, the reality is, how many know having the key don't mean you're using it? See, you could have the key and be a victim because that key is in your pocket. That key, maybe you've protected it. Maybe you polish it. Maybe you talk about, I've got a key. Until you use it. And until you engage that. Jesus says, listen, if you will bind some things, I'll get behind it. See, Jesus already got the victory for us. The Bible speaks about in Corinthians, about he's destroyed death. He's given us the keys, you have to use it. I want to say prayer is the key. Prayer is the first key that we need to do. Maybe this is what we need to start to do, church, is to do nothing without praying first. Okay, that's what we want to do. We want to go do something good. Maybe you want to go get married. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you want to start a ministry. Maybe you want to get your family saved. That's what you want to get to. You're here. Ah. Maybe you need to start doing some binding first. Some prayer first. Some serious prayer first. Some wrestling. Taking authority, speaking specifically about some things that are tormenting your life. Engage your brain in prayer. Some people pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done for earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that's good. You can pray that prayer. I'm not against that prayer. That's a model of prayer. That's the prayer. That's our Lord's prayer, Jesus' prayer. But you need, if you're going through something specific, you need to start speaking specific. You're having problems in your marriage. I bind this devil tormenting my husband. Don't bind your husband. Bind that. Listen, I come against this. We're arguing all the time. This is an argument. I'm coming against this. If it's my flesh, I bind it. If two people want to make something work and it can't work, then it must be something else. It has to be something else. You're trying to witness to your family, get people saved. You've got to come against the spirit. You're getting all angry with them and you want to just stop getting angry with them and start binding and taking dominion and authority in prayer. Rather than talking, you know, recently, I heard someone who's a Christian, they're going through something, they're going through troubled time, and someone told somebody, and someone told somebody, and someone told somebody, and someone told somebody, someone told me, and I said, you know what? All this talking is just long. We need to take dominion over this thing. Because we start there, oh, should they have really gone there? Maybe they shouldn't have done that. Maybe they shouldn't have done that. And we're excusing our way out of this. Listen, what we need is the supernatural. What we need is God to come down and bring deliverance, and that is it. Done deal. Done deal. Stop debating. You don't see Jesus debating with the devil. Debating. Everywhere Jesus went, there was deliverance. If Christ is in you, and you are in Christ, you have that authority. You have the keys. You can step out, and rather than wrestling with the enemy for years and years and years, going nowhere, you can get up and say, no, I'm going to bind this. I'm going to start to pray about this. I'm going to start to address this. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to exercise faith. See, let me close with this. The Bible says that if we would use this authority, if we would be more in prayer than just doing, this is why before service, we have prayer meeting. Let me just, let me put out a request. Please come early and help us pray before service. We need your help. We need your help. The service starts at 3. We have prayer at 2. Even if just for half an hour, come upstairs and help us pray. If you would come and help us pray, we will see more people saved. This is not a standard. Is it a standard? Listen, forget all of that. I'm not even going to go down that road. If I have to force you, Pastor, I'm here. It's the wrong mindset. Come early. Pray. Help us that we would lift this service up, that the worship and people who are bound by chains, that
people that maybe, you know, this is how I think. We come, I'm up there, you know, maybe quarter past two, I'm praying. I'm already praying, God, maybe someone got up right now, they're ready to come to church and the devil is stopping them. I bind him. They're going to be here. Maybe some of you are here today because we bound the enemy that was going to stop you from coming here today. Help us. Help us. Because I'm telling you now, if we will engage in spiritual warfare, this is what Jesus says. If you will first bind, then you can plunder. We don't use those words anymore. The word plunder really means to snatch. I like this word. Think about it. The devil's got some stuff of yours. You just snatch it out of his hand. To tear in pieces. The word kind of comes from like, if you was like at an army, and another army is fighting you, and they pick the fight with you, but you had to go and fight with them. And so you fight with them, and after they're destroyed, all of their stuff, all of their gold and all of their thing, you take it. You've plundered them. Now we're having that now, because you started it, and you lost, so we're having that. That's what the Bible says, that you can plunder the enemy. You can take stuff. That we are here to plunder hell. Do you know when, for us to get people saved, we have to plunder the enemy? The devil is keeping people bound. There is a spirit at work in Wandsworth. There are many spirits. Keeping people bound. There's a spirit of false religion. Keeping people bound in false religion. They are talking about different religions, different gods. You try to talk to them, you find it so hard. Because there is a strong man saying, no, 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 no. Keeping them in this false religion. He needs to be bound. He needs to be bound. There are young men that are, there is a strong man of violence in Wandsworth. Gang violence. Having young men stabbing and shooting and killing each other. That is the spirit of violence. What we need to do is we need to bind him. Listen, you can open up 1,000 youth clubs. You can open up 1,000 academies. You can have all different schools and all different teachers and paint them in all bright colors and happy colors. Not, they've been doing that from when I was a kid. That's a long time. And things have not changed. They've got worse. Because physical weapons will not scare spiritual strongmen. There is a strong man of perversion in our community where young girls will look for value in a boy, allow men to sleep with them just so that, you know what, there's value, I'm pretty, I've got a man, I've got a boyfriend. There is a strong man of materialism, meaning what I've got, wealth and money and clothes and all of these things that distract people from the temporacy of their life. Their life, your life can be gone like this. And nothing you've got materialistically will keep you from going. It will be gone. You may have the biggest Gucci belt. If you die, it will be on your rotting corpse until someone says, yeah, I'll have that. And then they're walking around with it. It's a spirit. There's a spirit. Sometimes there's a spirit working the church, a spirit of timidity over men, where men will not rise up and be the men of God that God has called them to be. You ask them to minister and do something, they say, there's a timidity. There has to be a boldness and an authority. Jesus says, when you speak, I hear in heaven, and all of heaven gets behind you. He says, whatever you bind, if you see something on earth and you say, this is wrong, this is under the control of something else, I bind this in the name of Jesus. The Bible says all of the force of heaven comes down and says, you're bound. The strong man says, get off me. No, 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 you're bound. Because they said it, we get behind it. Because they're mine. They're praying to me. They've spoken. I gave them the key. I gave them the authority. And we go in and we're seeing people get saved that we thought could never get saved out of false religion. People getting saved, bowing their knee. People in gangs, people in violence, people in perversion. People that are materialistic. People from different cultures. Asian. Chinese. White people. All people. We're like, oh, it can't happen. There's a strong man keeping them things from happening. Then the strong man impresses upon our minds. Yeah, it won't work because you've wrestled with me. You can't beat me. You know what? You're right. I can't beat you physically.
And I've tried for too long, but I'm not trying anymore to beat you and wrestle with you. All I'm going to do is I'm going to cry out to God day and night. I'm going to bind you. And when we're bound, I'm just going to walk in and snatch what you was keeping me from. This is why prayer is so important. Because prayer is where we do the binding, church. Snatch. Some of us, we got to get some of our stuff back. You know, the devil's robbed us. We know that the devil is a thief and a liar. The devil robs you. Some of you here, the devil's got some of your stuff. Peace of mind. Some of you got no peace of mind. The devil's robbed you. You're worried about this person fix, that person fix, this person fix. You got no peace of mind. You cannot sleep at night. You're worried. You're perplexed. You're going to the doctor to give you pills and injections and all types of medicines and put you on this medicine and that medicine, and you've got to have another medicine because the medicine they gave you has side effects. So this medicine helps you. Listen, that is not God's portion for the child of God. God has given us peace of mind. You can have peace of mind. You know, people go home every night, drink a glass or a bottle of champagne or, sorry, not champagne, wine or beer, or just to get through. There are people out there depressed. Turn on the TV and watch soap opera after series after series after series, just to escape from their life because there's no peace. Can I tell you, you need to get your peace back. You need to bind the enemy, go into his camp and say, listen, hold on, that's mine. I remember when I lived with Brother Paul. He's in the Revive Church. We lived together. Sometimes we'd come to church and I'd look, I'd be, hold on, that's my jacket. He would be using my clothes all the time. Hold on, those are my shoes. I'll just see them shoes. They're mine. Some of us, this is how the devil. The devil's got your stuff on. The devil's walking around with your stuff. Your marriage. What about your holiness? The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. Without holiness. If you're not living holy, we don't mean that you're perfect, but we mean that your heart desires to do the right thing. Relationships. Some of you here, you feel isolated, you feel lonely. You could be in a church like this of 150 people and you feel lonely. Because the devil is robbing you from right relationships. The devil's in the church, he's moving, he's causing schisms. The devil loves schisms. Schisms is when people break off. There's this little crew here and they don't talk to that crew there. They're like, hi, look at who she thinks she is. Devil's so happy, man. Devil's like, well, I couldn't get them out of church, but I just put them apart. I just caused a little schism here and a schism there. You see her dress, you see, all of this. Or isolate you where you're isolated. Listen, I went away, the conference started. I had one day before the conference, I was in the hotel. I was praying. I spent most of my time praying. I was talking to my wife every day, praying. And sometimes it's good to have some solitude. I was praying, getting a direction for our church, direction. God was speaking to me, ministering to me, preparing my heart, going to conference. I'm convicted, I'm challenged. There's nothing wrong with it from solitude, but the difference between isolation and solitude, solitude is where you retreat so that you can be built up to come and embrace God's people. Isolation is when you separate for just separating. That is not God's plan. The devil is robbing you. You need to go back and say, no. These are God's brethren. I can speak about finances. I can speak about health. I remember getting saved. Before I got saved, I just remember being broke, never having money. My mom never had money. I think her mom never had money. Her mom's mom never had money. Just a generation of... And I remember getting to the point where... I remember I was saved. I was probably about a year saved. All I had enough, I remember having a Mars bar for dinner. That was my whole day. That's all I had all day, Mars bar. And I said, you know what? Reading the Bible, I said, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this poverty thing. I said, God, you need to bring breakthrough. And I started to buy. I said, I come against this spirit of poverty. It's been over my family. It's been over my life. And I remember praying in the afternoon. Before the afternoon finished, I got a call from a job from a company called Christopher Ray. At the end of King's Road, they're still there. I think they changed to something else now, but they're still there. And I got that job there. And since I've had that job, I've never been out of work. I've never taken a job and gone down in pay.
that I became a pastor. But I'm being paid in other ways. But listen, I took dominion, I took authority over poverty. What today do you need to take authority over? Jesus says we can go into his house. And I love that because it's almost like we're taking ground. We're going into the enemy's ground. Nothing is off limits for the church. We should, oh no, don't go into that area there. It's too rough. Oh no, we can go into the enemy's house. We're going to go in there and get people saved. Oh no, 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 it's not about that. No, Jesus says, if you bind the strong man, you have the authority to do this. Let this be our culture, church, that we pray before we do. That we take time to pray before we do. We're not just saying we're going to pray and not do. We still need to do what we're doing, but we need to pray. Let it be that we pray over everything before we do, so that we engage God. Let it be that we pray everywhere and with everyone. Let our fellowships with our friends start to be prayer fellowships. We don't have to have just a prayer meeting on a Monday. When we meet up, hey, how's it going on? Oh, this thing is troubling me. Stop. Let's pray. Let's take dominion right now. Let's not spend the next hour complaining why this and that and that and this. Let's spend the next half an hour praying and taking dominion and taking authority over this. When you come together, brothers, don't just talk about the fighting. Get into the fight. Don't just talk about boxing and football. Yeah, I'm not saying don't talk about those things. You just talk about how hard it is to serve God or talk about who's doing what on the ends and all of that. Listen, pray for the ends. Pray for the man them. And see God starting to save them and God started to reveal them, start to come in to the church, start to be changed and transformed. Jesus says, if you bind the strong man, you can go in and you can snatch. This year is going to be a lot of snatching. Snatching back from the enemy. You know, when I was a kid, my mom taught me not to snatch. Well, we're reteaching you. Snatch. Take it. Take what's yours. And even if it's not yours, take it if you like it. So, devil, you shouldn't have had this anyway. I'm having it. We're going to bind the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.